Good morning. No, sorry. Good afternoon. How are you all doing? Good, yeah? Congratulations, Josh and Sarah. Yeah, hey! Woohoo! Brilliant. These guys are getting braver and braver, aren't they? You know? Anyway, congratulations. Once again, we want to welcome everybody here to Open Arms. It's great having you guys here. Please give us that opportunity later on to connect with you. Join us outside for a coffee and tea after the service. Amen. Yeah, once again, welcome to Open Arms. It's been a great, you know, great start to our series, Grace. And, you know, PJ spoke about this 2 weeks ago, and he even touched on it during our Easter service. It was really good, really good. And even in our Connect group, we've been having great discussions around grace, really thinking about the truth of what God's grace is really all about. And this afternoon, I'll be re-emphasizing some of those points that PJ has already touched on, and just even bringing my take on it as well. Okay, so but it's all about God's amazing grace. You know, I love that song that we sang, "Amazing Grace, Amazing Grace," and it just speaks so much about God's love for us, that he demonstrated through his wonderful grace by sending his son, Jesus Christ, to the cross to die for you and me. You know, it's an amazing concept, you know. And to actually understand that fully will actually bring freedom and peace in our lives, yeah? But I like to start with this, right? I like to start with a story about this guy. He just passed away recently. You know, he died. And then when he opened his eyes, he woke up with bright lights in front of heaven's gates, right? Heaven's gates. And there was a person there right in front of the gates. It was St. Peter. The Apostle Peter was there to meet him, right? So he runs up to the gate and says, like, okay, can I come in now? And Peter stopped him and said, look, I got to explain a few rules to you, right? I got to explain a few rules before you actually come in to heaven and enjoy, you know what heaven has to offer. But here are the rules. You have to explain to me or tell me all the good things, all the wonderful things that you've done on earth when you were still alive. And I will give you a certain number of points for each good thing that you did, but you have to reach 100 points. So in order to get into heaven, you have to get 100 points. 100 points. So the guy was thinking, okay, let me think. So he's thinking real hard. And he thought of, oh, St. Peter, you know, while I was on earth, I set up a soup kitchen for the homeless. So anybody that was hungry coming off the streets, they could come into this area where we were serving hot food in the morning. And I did this every weekend. I was consistent. I volunteered. Even during the winter, I was there helping, giving food to the homeless. And St. Peter, you know, he was impressed. He was impressed. And he said, you know, for that, I'm going to give you 1 point. 1 point. So the guy says, like, 1 point for that. And he started to think, my goodness, how am I going to get to 100? So I thought real hard. Oh, I think it's this. I think I'm going to get a huge bunch of points for this. St. Peter, while I was on earth, I went to church every Sunday. And when we had the worship services on Thursday, I was there. And I was part of the dream team. I went from kids' church, welcome, cafe. I did all that. And I tithe regularly. I even went above my tithe, St. Peter. And if there was an extra offering to be made, I did it as well. You know? So he looked at St. Peter, and St. Peter was impressed. So the facial expressions was, oh, wow. So he was expecting a lot more points, and St. Peter said, you know, for that, I'm going to give you another point. What? And he said, like, 2 points. I'm 98 short. And he started thinking real hard. It's not that. It's not this. Oh, I think it's this. I think this is going to get me halfway at least. And he told St. Peter, St. Peter, I was married to the same woman for more than 50 years. I don't know why you're laughing. You should be going, wow, You're like laughing like it's a chore. Come on. Anyway, let me get back to my story. Oh, you're going to get in trouble for that, Gary. Okay. So I've been married to this woman for more than 50 years. I never laid it in my eyes on any other woman. I was faithful. I loved her right till my deathbed. I loved her with all my heart. I was faithful. And, you know, once again, St. Peter was like, wow. For that, I'm going to give you 3 points. 3 points! And he was like, my goodness, 3 points. So right now I've got 5 points. I'm 95 short. And the guy was really frustrated because he can't think of anything else. And he told St. Peter, look, St. Peter, I'm not going to get to 100. I think the only way I'm going to get to 100 is by God's grace. And St. Peter smiled at him, opened the gates, and said, come on in. It is only by God's grace, that we are saved. It's by grace we are saved through faith, not our works, lest we should boast. You know, it's accurate to say that when God freely gives us his own righteousness, it's through his Son, Jesus Christ. We don't have to work for it or try to earn it. We're no longer under the law or legalism. What God does through his Son, Jesus Christ, he wipes away our sin. He wipes away our past. He gives us a new beginning. We are clean. We are purified in the sight of God because of what Jesus Christ did. It is by grace we are saved. But we often struggle with this truth. We often struggle with this truth. We hear this quite often in church. By faith we are saved. Yet we struggle with the truth. Because God's grace runs counter to what we've learned or what we've been taught when we were kids. Anything that we've done in our lives, we have to work for it. And when we do something and we put in a lot of effort and we receive it, we feel better about it. You know, after a hard day's work and we get paid at the end of the week, we say, well, look, I've earned my wages. I've earned my wages. There's always this sense of earning with everything that we have. But that's not God's grace. And we often struggle to understand this because it's ingrained in us, especially when it comes to salvation. Especially when it comes to salvation, because we think that, you know, in order to receive God's grace, I have to do certain things. I have to be good. I have to do this, and that. It makes us feel better. The desire to earn or merit God's grace is woven in us. It's in our DNA. Because since we were little kids, we were taught to be independent. You have to work for it. You have to strive to be your best. And we take that concept. It's in our DNA right up to our relationship with God. We think we can impress God. Like God hasn't seen it before. Like if I do this, I'm sure God's going to say, oh, I've never seen that coming. That's brilliant. That's what we think. We think if we go over and beyond what we can do, we're going to impress Almighty God that created all this. And sometimes we even do this try when it comes to getting into the presence of God. We push ourselves into the presence of God with our works. We think if we do this, God's favor is just going to shower on me. It's going to overflow because of what I've done. But see, that isn't God's grace. That's why God's grace is something we can't earn. So here's my first point, right? Grace saves. It ultimately saves. Nothing to do with us. Grace saves. Ephesians 2 verse 8 and 9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. I am saved by grace. We are saved by grace. But you know what's funny? You know, after we're saved, after we've accepted Jesus Christ, and we know in our heads that because of God's grace, I am saved, you know what happens? We go into what we call salvation maintenance mode. Have you ever heard of that? Salvation maintenance mode, meaning I have to do certain things just so I can keep it. I've been given God's grace. I've received a salvation through the work of Jesus Christ. But now in order to keep it, I have to do this. I have to do that. I have to behave a certain way. I have to stop doing certain things just so I can keep it. Maintenance mode. And even if we say to ourselves, you know, it's by grace I'm saved, in our heads, we still try to think. We still think that we can gain more of His grace by doing certain things for God. And this is why grace bewilders me. It bewilders me and amazes me. It is mind-blowing. Because God doesn't give me grace because I've earned it. He gives me grace because of what Jesus did for you and me. It is purely from the work of Jesus Christ. Here's the thing. So sometimes we think, like, surely a little bit of earning will help. Yeah? Like, surely if I do this, a little bit of that will help me secure that salvation I've just received. Absolutely not. Because if that's how we think, then it's not grace. It is not grace. That's why it's called amazing grace. Because we don't deserve it. And if we don't get this in our heads, if we don't pound this truth into our understanding of grace, we will never really understand what grace is. Amazing grace. And Jesus makes this very clear in one of his parables, right? Would you know the parable of the vineyard workers? You know, there's a set of vineyard workers that this vineyard master hired from the beginning of the morning right up to the afternoon, right? So this is how the parable goes. The vineyard master hires a set of workers at the beginning of the morning, right? So they're working real hard, right? And towards the afternoon, he's hiring more and more workers. But then he hires workers at the very last hour, right? So the guys at the vineyard, the guys that were working in the morning, in their heads, they were expecting, well, look, I'm sure we're going to get paid more than what these guys that came in the last hour, I'm sure we're going to get more than what they got, right? They assumed that the vineyard master was going to be fair. Going to be fair, right? Because they worked harder than those that came in the last hour. So the fair thing to do by the vineyard master was to get paid more, right? But see, what happened was the master paid every single person, guys in the beginning, right up to the ones that joined in the last hour of the afternoon, they received the same amount of money. They all got one denarius, right? And you know what happened? They started mumbling, like, my goodness, we were working right at the beginning of the morning, right? Beginning of the morning, compared to these guys that just came in the last hour. That is unfair. Have you ever heard that before? From your kids? It is unfair. It is unfair. Unfair. But that's what surprised them. And Jesus Christ responded this way via the vineyard master. In Matthew 20, verse 15 and 16, he says, don't I have the right to do what I want to do with my own money? Or are ye envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. Everyone was surprised by what they got. The guys that worked in the morning and the guys that worked in the afternoon, they were surprised. I mean, the guys in the morning, they were surprised that that's all they got. And the guys in the afternoon were surprised as well with the generosity because that's what they got for just an hour's work. And here's the thing. You know, God, He will give you a ridiculous, surprisingly unfair amount of grace. Not because we've earned it or we deserve it, but because we serve a gracious and generous God. Amen. That is grace. It's so amazing. We don't deserve this. We don't deserve this. Yet because of God's unconditional love, God paid the ultimate price by sending his one and only Son to die on the cross for those that were condemning him, for those that were had nothing to do with Jesus Christ. Yet Jesus Christ died for each one of us. That is amazing grace. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. You know, we were talking about this in our Connect group. Like we just thinking how powerful grace is. Think of the, like, take a few seconds, right? Think about the worst thing that you've ever thought of. Think about the worst thing that you could possibly do. Just think about it. And then think about this. God sees your thoughts. God sees your motives. Yet God says, come here. Come here. I love you. I forgive you. Here is my grace to you through my Son, Jesus Christ. That is amazing grace. Amazing grace. See, we've gotten so wrapped up that grace is just about that. Certain truths about grace. And we've put in our own versions of it. We call it a greasy grace. You know, greasy grace. I mean, I'll talk about this a little bit more. But sometimes what's stopping us from coming to God is our own perception of ourselves. But that's why grace saves. It ultimately saves us even from those thoughts that bring us down. Grace saves. Amen. So that's my first point. Grace saves. But grace doesn't only do that, right? That's not the only thing that grace does. You know? Because the thing is, grace isn't just about salvation. That's one side of God's grace. And if I were to stop right here, it wouldn't be the whole truth. It wouldn't be the whole truth. It wouldn't be complete. Because God's grace, God's amazing grace, isn't just about saving us, but it's also teaching us. It says here, Ephesians, going back to Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is a gift from God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Sometimes we just stop there, and we forget about verse 10. And this is what verse 10 says. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So there is something else. And in Titus 2, verse 11 and 12, it says, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. There's something else to grace. Yes, grace saves, but then the next thing that grace does is grace teaches. Grace teaches. See, we've been kind of so wrapped up with this concept of being saved by grace that we forget that grace also teaches us to live godly lives. Let's read that again, Titus 2, verse 11, 12. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people, so everybody. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. It teaches us, grace teaches us to live godly lives. And you know, here's the thing. Sometimes we shy away from that word godliness because we think that when we think about godliness, oh, you have to be wearing a long black robe and you'd be walking like this and you'd be blessing people left and right and you don't sin. You're oh, that's a godly person. Look at him. He can't hurt a fly. But basically, godliness is living for God. When we're moving towards godliness, we're no longer we slowly move away from living for ourselves And then we're living for God. And living for God brings peace, contentment, and purpose. Godliness. And that's what grace teaches us to do. And this is how grace teaches us. One of the most important things that grace teaches us is to say no to sin. No to sin. You know, all of us has this, you know, we have our flesh, our sinful nature, and we're constantly being pulled towards whatever temptation is there, right? But what grace does, it helps us say no to that we sin less and less and less. Whereas without grace, we just keep falling right into it. Grace helps us to say no to sin. And the way grace does this is that grace gives us another chance. Another chance. Because here's the thing. You know, sometimes when we make mistakes, when we sin, and if there's no grace there, what happens is shame, guilt, condemnation slowly creep back and pull us down. But what grace does, it gives us another chance. It gives us another chance. This has happened to me. I don't know if it happens to you. But you know when you sin and you feel so bad about yourself, rather than repenting, you just keep going for it. Yeah? It's like going on a diet. Oh, I ate that cake. I must as well eat the whole cake. Yeah? Amen. We all struggle with cake. Come on. But that's the thing. When we make mistakes and we stumble, we're already down on the ground. What we do is we just crawl right over. But see, what grace does, it gives us another chance. Grace tells us, don't give up. Don't give up. There is a place for you on the cross. Come back. So we keep on trying. We keep on, Lord, help me. Help me. And what grace also teaches us is it teaches us that there is a place when we make mistakes. There is a place when we fall. There is a place when we sin, and that is the cross. Another problem that we go through is when we sin, once again, we feel about it. We feel bad about it. And you know what happens? We struggle to actually go to the cross. It's like, Lord, forgive me. We think that, you know, it's like, anyway, I'll stop that, yeah, anyway. but that's how we behave sometimes. But you know what grace does? It offers an open place. We should be running back to the cross and experiencing God's unmerited mercy. God offers mercy. It's a package deal. When God offers mercy, grace follows. We should be running back to the cross. And that's what grace does. That's what grace teaches us. It shows us that there is a place to go back to. When we make mistakes, you know, it actually draws God. Because here's the thing. Well, you know, when we fall down or when we're making mistakes, you know, God sees that and he gets closer because he's asking us, come on, just come back. Just come back. Come back. Just like the prodigal son, the father saw him at a distance. And it was the father that ran towards the son. It wasn't the other way around. That's what grace does. It offers a place for us to come back and try again. I like that word that Darren said when he was preaching on relationships, that, you know, God doesn't just give us another chance. He gives us a new beginning. Isn't that great? A new beginning. We start off fresh. That's what grace teaches us. And not only does grace teach us that there is a place to go to, but grace also teaches us that that our personal relationship with God, with Jesus Christ, helps us say no as well. Because the more we have of Jesus Christ in our lives, the more powerful his word becomes. And we can relate to that. We learn from his examples. We learn from how Jesus said no to every single temptation. See, Jesus wasn't exempted from that. Left and right, in every aspect, he was tempted. Yet Jesus said no. And the more we have of that mindset coming from Jesus Christ in our lives, when we continue to develop that relationship, we get to say no as well. Amen? So grace teaches us to say no. But grace also teaches us how to live godly lives. Not just say no, but also be proactive in living godly lives. And the way grace does this is grace shows us how to be grateful. How to be grateful. Being grateful is being thankful for everything that we receive from God. Knowing that we'll never earn it. We'll never earn it. Because everything that we receive from God is because of God. Nothing else. Nothing else. But see, once again, we struggle with that, and we like to earn our way. We like to earn our way. And sometimes we set certain standards for ourselves, and when we reach that standard that we think is acceptable to God, we become spiritually arrogant. Well, I'm not like that person. That person is an alcoholic. That person, and we come up with all sorts of examples, just so we can raise the bar for ourselves. That is not grace. Once again, that goes back to being legalistic. And we try to keep the law. And when we fail at that, we fail in despair. We just plummet. And that's why grace is so amazing. Because when we know that God's grace, what God's grace has for us in Jesus Christ, the more we want to serve him. When we understand how powerful God is in our lives and what he's done for us, we become grateful and we serve in loving obedience. Loving obedience. It is no longer, look, I'm going to do this, Lord. I'm going to do this, God, for you because I want to keep my salvation. No, it's now, I want to serve you, Lord, because I want to show how much I love you. Yeah? Loving obedience. That's what grace teaches us. And, you know, these past 2 weeks, I've been off work. The past month, I had passed in my resignation, you know, so month's notice. But I had, a few days left, so I took those 2 weeks off. So tomorrow, actually, I'll be starting my new job over in Kildare. No longer. Thank you. So no longer will I be driving an hour and a half over to over the mountains in Wicklow. These past 2 weeks, I've been off, been really enjoying time with the family. But I've been busy. I've been busy because these 2 weeks, you know, because we've had, you know, acceptable weather. If you notice, I'm a bit more tan because I've been at the beach. Could you imagine? I got burned in Irish weather. Anyway, but I've been busy because Nin asked me to help her with her garden projects, because we've got this patch of grass in front of our house, and I don't like grass, you know. I hate mowing grass. It's not one of the most favorite things. So Nin said, look, might as well get rid of the... Because here's the thing, you know. We've got some devilish cats in our neighborhood, you know. You know what I mean? And they leave some nice little presents on our grass for us to discover and step on. But Nin's plan was, we're going to replace the grass with nice gold chips. And, you know, could you build me a flower box on the side, on both sides, and plant a tree on that one there? So we were busy, but never did I think that it was going to be one of the most backbreaking jobs I've ever experienced, because digging a piece of grass, a square foot, my goodness, it is hard, it's backbreaking, and I tell you, because it was so backbreaking, I think I gained 30 more years the following day, because I was because I was walking slower than Sean Duncan, you know, that one. Anyway. We can't exempt you, Sean. You know, it's just so fun to do this. Anyway, but you know, it was hard. It was hard work. But never did it cross my mind that if I didn't do this, my wife would love me less. Never did it come into my mind that if I didn't do this garden project, Nin was going to leave me. You know? Why are you laughing? Do you honestly believe that? But never did I think that. You know why I did it? Because I knew once it was done, I'll be putting a big smile on my wife's face. And when she saw the finished project, I tell you, I was the proudest man. I was like, yeah, come on, baby. Give me another garden. Come on. That's a joke. Okay, that's a joke. But I did it for love. I did it because I love to see my wife happy. And that's the thing about God's grace. When we know what God's grace is really all about, we will run to God and ask Him, Lord, what can I do to make a difference? What do you want me to do? Here I am. Send me. Loving obedience. That's what grace teaches us. So grace not only saves us, grace teaches us. Not only teaches us, but grace also empowers us. Grace empowers. So this is my third point. Grace empowers. See, grace doesn't just teach us to do the right thing and expects us to do it alone. Because we could learn all this. We could learn all this, yes. People can teach us these things. But to actually carry it out is a difficult job. It's a difficult job. And that's why grace not only saves us, teaches us, it's a process, but grace also empowers us. It gives us the strength when we're weak. It empowers us when we don't know what to do. That's what grace does. It enables us to do what God wants us to do. And you know, going back to Ephesians 2, verse 10, that for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. In advance for us to do. In Christ, we are created for good works. We're created in Christ to do good things. No longer is it for to keep our salvation or to gain God's favor, but it's to bring glory to God. It's to bring glory to God. And see, these good works that Ephesians is talking about, it's demonstrated in so many different ways. Different ways that are unique to each of you. Unique to you and me. You know, I've told you about my mom's fried chicken, right? Did I? You know, my mom cooks the best fried chicken. Best fried chicken. Okay, best fried chicken. And she's actually shared that recipe with others, right? And I've tasted that fried chicken that others have cooked based on my mom's recipe. But it's not like my mom's fried chicken. You know what I'm saying? You may be doing certain things that are similar to the person beside you, but you do it a certain way. You do it that is uniquely yours. We've got a number of bass players here, right? But Charles, PJ, Alex, they play it. They play it in accordance to how they do it. And it's wonderful. It's nice to listen to. We've got people, different people on the welcome team every week. But each person opens the door a different way. Now, not saying the hinge goes different. Okay? But the way they smile and greet you is different. I don't know why you're laughing. I don't get it. But you get me. Some people open that door with, you know, one of these big smiles, and you're like, whoa! I want to come in. I won't expand anymore because you might start picking out people. Who was that person? But what I'm saying is that God empowers us to do certain things that is uniquely yours. You know? There are things I do now that I wouldn't have thought of doing before I met Christ. I never thought of myself being on the platform preaching God's word. Never thought of that. Yet God has empowered me to do this. Like PG speaks about this, that he grew up with a speech impediment. You wouldn't have thought of that. Like PJ speaks brilliantly. You would never have thought that he had a speech impediment. Yet, because of God's grace, he's empowered one of the best pastors that we have in Ireland. Amen. 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 We are blessed. We are blessed. We are blessed. Before I go to Hebrews. See, the thing is, what grace does, it unlocks something in us. When we understand fully what grace is, it unlocks something. And I got this from Matthew Henry in one of his commentaries around grace. Matthew Henry says, grace in the soul is new life. As death locks up the senses and seals up all the powers, the faculties, and anything that is good, grace unlocks, opens all, and enlarges the soul. Wow. Grace unlocks our true purpose. Not only does it reveal our true purpose, but it empowers us and strengthens us to walk in that purpose. You'll be amazed at your potential because of God's grace. Because of God's grace. Hebrews 12, verse 28 says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably and with reverence and godly fear. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, it says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made in perfect weakness. Empowered and strengthened we are. God's grace saves us by faith in Jesus Christ. It teaches us to live right and godly lives. And when our strength is weak, God's grace empowers us and strengthens us. God's amazing grace. That's all we need to live our lives to the fullest, is God's amazing grace. I'd like to tell this story as I close, right? I'd like to ask the worship team to come up with me just so we can sing Amazing Grace as we close the service. But you know, I told you in the beginning that that there are certain things that we would have, you know, grown up with, certain concepts about God, certain concepts about ourselves and our sin. You know, sometimes, like even when we've accepted Christ, like there's always a reminder of our past. And the devil often comes to us and reminds us of that. You know what happens? We keep falling back right into it. You know when that happens? We struggle with accepting God's grace. We have to try and understand it because we can never earn it. It's something that God freely gives through His Son. But if we don't understand it, it will weigh us down. It will continue to weigh us down. And you know, there was this guy that went over to his local zoo. He was visiting the zoo, and he went over to where the elephants were, right? Amazing animals. And he saw in the corner, there were elephants here, but he saw one elephant in the corner, and it was huge, majestic, powerful looking. But it wasn't leaving its corner. You know why? Because there was a small piece of rope attached onto his leg. And he was wondering, how can that small piece of rope hold such a big animal? You know, the elephant could just pull it off and it'll be set free. But it was staying in the corner because of that small piece of rope. So he went over to the zookeeper and asked him, like, what is keeping the animal there? I mean, it couldn't be that piece of rope. And the zookeeper explained to him, well, you know, when it was a baby elephant, the same piece of rope was strong enough to hold it down in that corner. And that's all it knew as it grew, that that small piece of rope can hold it down. And it's the same thing with us. I don't know what burden you're carrying around. I don't know what type of sin you constantly think of. I don't know what struggle you have that is just pinning you where you are. But you know, God's grace, like we were singing in that song, chains can be broken. God's amazing grace can set you free. Forgive you of your past. Take away that burden of either your sin or your life struggles. God's grace is enough for you and me. But you know, it starts with the Savior. It's a process. In order for us to learn to live godly lives and to be empowered to live out our true purpose, it starts with the Savior. It starts with a relationship. It starts with Jesus Christ. And I'd like to lead you in a prayer. If God is speaking to you right now, and He's knocking on the door in your heart, asking, yeah, just come to me. Accept my Son who died for you on the cross of Calvary. If you'd like to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, all you have to do is accept Him into your heart. So I'd like everybody to just close your eyes and bow your heads. And just think about where you are at the moment. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. And He demonstrated it by sending His one and only Son to the cross to pay for your sins, past, present, and future. If you'd like to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'd like you to say a prayer with me, but please acknowledge that you'd like to say this prayer with me by raising your hand when I count to three. So I'm going to count to three, and if you'd like Jesus to come into your life, just raise your hand in 1, 2, 3. Just raise your hand. Thank you, Mark. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, you could put your hands down, right? Let's all pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, thank you for your amazing grace. Thank you for your life that you've put on the cross to pay for my sins. Thank you for this new beginning as I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Fill me with your Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God.